The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The text of our sermon today is 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of the Father abides forever. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, on the last evening of the year, our thoughts turn to the great realities of life. Quite naturally, we give some thought to time. As we think of the flight of time, we ask, what is there in life that is permanent? What is there that is permanent and still has value? What constitutes a permanent treasure? On the basis of our text, let us bring these thoughts together as we consider time and treasure. May the Lord bless our meditation. Firstly, time and worldly treasure. Let us first consider the definition of time. Our text contains the element of time, passing away and abides forever. It is difficult to define time. The dictionary has the definition of time as that in which events are distinguished with reference to before and after, beginning and end. We have learned to measure time, minutes, hours, days and years. Formerly, time was measured by a sundial. We read in 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 9 to 11. Then Isaiah said, "This is a sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing which he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go backward 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, "It is an easy thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. No, but let the shadow go backward 10 degrees. So Isaiah the prophet cried out to the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards, by which it had gone down on the sundial of Ahaz. We also have the division of time into watches, as we read in Exodus chapter 14, verse 24. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. And in Matthew chapter 14, verse 25, we read, now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. We have an important time reference in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning. God is not subject to time being eternal. Time is given to us as a special gift, and we are to make the best possible use of it. We read in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 17, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Let us today think of time as the passing of the years. Now let us consider the definition of worldly treasure. A treasure is anything of highly estimated value. In a figurative sense, it is anything on which we set our hearts. We read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." A worldly treasure is one found in the material world: money, goods, real estate, pleasure and honour. In the next part of our address, let us see what the effect of time, that is, the passing years, has on worldly treasures. Time exposes worldly treasures. Time reveals how elusive and deceptive worldly treasures are. The promises of worldly treasures are indeed bright and glorious. They seem to contain the answer to every desire and quest. But after you once have them, these worldly treasures too often begin to burn. There is the fear of loss, the fear of responsibility, and the fear of attack. What promised to be a treasure has become a liability. note how elusive honour and popularity are. The world will honour our hero and give him the crown of popularity until another person comes along with a better record and a greater service. We see that in the Olympics. Likewise, a person may be honoured for a record, non-stop flight from one place to another. But tomorrow, the crown is given to another who has bettered the record by an hour. Hence, it is folly to seek honour and popularity. We read in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 1, dead flies putrefy the perfume's ointment and cause it to give off a foul odour. So does a little folly to one respected for wisdom and honour. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24, all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of the man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls away. So time exposes every worldly treasure as deceptive, elusive, and unreliable. Time reveals how futile worldly treasures are in the hour of emergency. Of how much value are your worldly treasures when death comes? We read in Luke chapter 12, verse 20, but God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? Those of you who may have been seriously ill during the past year, how much help did you receive from any wealth or honour you may have had? How much comfort did you get out of all your worldly treasures during the past year when you came face to face with the fact that you are a lost and condemned sinner? How much consolation did you get from those treasures as you looked into the cold, still face of a loved one? It is the emergencies of life that worldly treasures fail us. Time has exposed how futile worldly treasures are in the hour of need and emergency. Time also records the destruction of worldly treasures. Worldly treasures are only temporal. Our text says, and the world is passing away and the lust of it. Not only the treasures, but even the desire for them passes away. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 21, that the form of this world is passing away. The hymn writer Henry Francis Light wrote, change and decay and all around I see. Compare this to Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, where we read, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. The final destruction of all things is described in 2 Peter chapter 3. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Many great treasures have been lost and destroyed in the course of time. Consider all the great wealthy kingdoms of the world, which once could boast of great treasures that today have vanished. Egypt, Greece, and Rome. Consider the great sums lost by the wealthy. A man who a year ago enjoyed the comforts of a luxurious home may this hour be glad to have the shelter of a tin shed. A bank account on last year may have shown a balance of thousands, but may today be all zeros. The psalmist writes, surely every man walks about like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. At great length, men will go to obtain worldly treasures. The world is full of treasure seekers. History has shown that Cocos Island was constantly overrun by treasure seekers. For years, organized groups searched for the two most important treasures believed to be buried there, Captain Davis' Spanish gold and the treasures of Lima taken there by Captain Thompson in the Mary Deer. One man even lived on the island for 20 years. The seekers included many prominent people. Then think of the millions of people who during the past 365 days have lived with just one ambition, to obtain worldly treasure. How foolish when time has shown those treasures to be deceptive and reveals the repeated loss and destruction of these treasures. No wonder Jesus forbids hoarding treasures. We read in Luke chapter 12, verses 32 and 33. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags, which do not grow old, a treasure in the heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. And as we are marking time on this last worship service of the year, let us commit time to bring us its unimpeachable message. The world is passing away and the lust of it. So secondly, we look at time and spiritual treasure. So what are spiritual treasures? The kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure. The fear of the Lord is a spiritual treasure, as we read in Isaiah chapter 33, verse 6. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Religious instruction is a treasure, as is religious knowledge. Faith in Jesus Christ is a spiritual treasure. We should think of spiritual treasures as including everything belonging to the Christian faith and life. The first thing we note is that time cannot destroy spiritual treasures. Time brings with it many attacks upon spiritual treasures. The Christian faith is continually under fire. Attacks of unbelievers, present-day materialism, modern ungodly education and propaganda, the temptations from within and without in our nature of the old Adam. But Scripture teaches the permanence of spiritual treasures. Our text says, "But he who does the will of God abides forever." Now, to do God's will is a fruit of faith. We read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." To do God's will indicates possession of the treasure of faith and love. We read in John chapter 15, verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." The word of God is permanent. We read in Matthew chapter 24, verse 35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Time cannot change Christ, as we learn in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. A noble Christian woman, as she lay lying down, overheard the doctor whisper, "She is sinking fast." The dying woman smiled and replied, "I am not sinking. I can't sink through a rock." Since spiritual treasures are eternal, it follows that they are time-proof. As we today think of the change that comes with the passing years, let us remember the unchangeableness and the permanence of spiritual treasures. Time does and will record the triumph of spiritual treasures. So here are just some instances where faith has triumphed. Moses renouncing the royalty of Egypt in order that he might serve God and his people. Daniel was spared, honoured and respected, though disregarding the royal edicts. Job, having lost all his worldly treasures, keeps his faith and emerges as victor. In your own personal life, what was it during the past year that helped you over the brink of despair, that sustained you when every prop gave way? Many of us can no doubt confess that the past year would have been a dark one had it not been for these spiritual treasures, the word of God, the gift of faith, and the privilege of prayer. Blessed are you if the past year recorded the triumph of spiritual treasures in your life. Martin Luther wrote, "And they take their life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Though these all be gone, yet have not our foes won. The kingdom ours remaineth." But especially will eternity record the triumph of spiritual treasures. And text says, "But he who does the will of God abides forever." Faithful adherence to the spiritual treasures carries with it the promise of eternal triumph. We read in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, "Be faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life." near the Capitol building in Rome is a room that was a schoolroom full 18 centuries ago. Across its threshold one morning came two schoolboys with their books. In the idle moment, one with a bit of charcoal traced on the wall a rude cross with an outstretched figure hanging on it. Beneath it, the boy cartooned the face of his companion and wrote this inscription, "Alex worships Christ." The empire has fallen, gone are the towers and the temples. The forum itself has passed to dust, but that boy's attitude toward Christ abides. Likewise, it'll be with us. The years will go, and with them will pass our ambitions, prosperities, successes, and friendships. But what we think of Christ will stand forth when life's outer scaffolding falls away, leaving the soul with its open secret revealed. And on New Year's Eve, we write finish to another year in the march of time. So let us remember that God gives us time only that we might accumulate more of the treasure that does not corrupt, but that abides forever. So let us close with the words of the hymnist, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand." Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.